Good afternoon and welcome to the All-In Payments Call. My name is Catherine Jett, and I'll be your moderator for today's call. We would like to thank everyone for joining today, and before we jump into the agenda, there are a few housekeeping items to review. Next slide, please. Thank you. This call is scheduled for 60 minutes and is being recorded and a transcription is being captured. Now, as a reminder, per the Ticket Program Agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I, EN staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. Note, all post-call deliverables, such as the recap, transcript, audio recording, and PowerPoint presentation, will be available post-call on the Your Ticket to Work website by selecting Training and Events, Events Archives, and National All Call Events. And we'll have that information posted in the chat by our production team. Now remember, a Gov Delivery Blast will go out to advise when the post-call deliverables are available on the Your Ticket to Work website. Also, during the call today, there'll be an interactive question and answer session. Remember to keep the questions general in nature, and if you have specific ticket holder questions, contact the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Please limit questions to one per raised hand. If you have multiple questions each time called upon, ask only one question and return to the queue. One last reminder, questions in the chat will be answered by SSA and TPM only. Now during our Q&A, if you're joining via the phone and would like to ask a question, select star 5. You'll be given access by the production team and will need to select star 6 to unmute. If you're joining via the MS Teams application, select the raised hand icon at the top of the screen. You'll be given access to your mic by the production team and will need to click the mic to unmute. Now we have closed captioning available also during the call today. To view closed captioning, click the three dots above More in the Teams window. Scroll down to Language and Speech and select Turn on Live Captions. Or you may click the link that's been posted in the chat by the production team. Again, thank you for joining today's call. And now on to the agenda. Next slide, please. We have a full agenda for today's call. Our speaker today is the EN Payments Manager, Nicole Black. Nicole will provide the welcome, a look into the April ePay file stats and ePay reminders, some helpful payments help desk reminders along with EN payment reminders, a review of payment requests for unassigned ticket holders, an overview of the reconciliation process, a review of the top 5 denial reasons and the top 3 diary reasons, and you'll be provided with some resources to assist. Now, as advised earlier, we will have an interactive question and answer session, and we'll end with the closing remarks. Now, at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce the TPM EN Payments Manager, Nicole Black. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Next slide, please. I want to first welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us for our August All EN Payments Call. I will start off with the ePay file stats. The last ePay file was completed in June of 2024. For that last ePay file, there was a total of 15,896 claims paid. There were 4,211 SSNs paid out of those claims. And there was a total amount of $8,839,848 paid out to the ENs for that last ePay file. You all recently received your Gov Delivery. SSA started processing the July 2024 ePay file on July 29th of this year. Next slide, please. So I'll go over some of our ePay reminders. Phase 1, Milestone 4, is paid via ePay, but ENs must still submit payment requests for Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay, and ENs must have passed their annual services and supports review to be eligible for ePay. The ePay file is processed in SSN order, not provider ID order or PID order. Phase 1 Milestone 4, Phase 2 milestones, and outcomes are paid via ePay. EINs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal when the EIN portion of the ePay file is being processed. Submitting for such payments does slow down processing and causes duplicate claim months. Next slide, please. Now we're going to go over the payment help desk reminders. So as a reminder, for payment inquiries, all communication that is had regarding ticket holders and employment networks must be with suitable EIN staff. For example, the approved portal users, program contacts, and the signatory authority or the payments contact. For personally identifiable information or PII, if an EIN needs to submit PII, the submission must be done via fax or the mail. EINs must not send PII via email. An EIN should use the SSA reference number when emailing payment inquiries to the payments help desk. Next slide, please. Additional help desk reminders. The help desk staff cannot provide the following information. They cannot provide you with information regarding a ticket holder's benefits, disputes, or inquiries, information on earnings and SSA's records, claim months needed to complete a proof of relationship, information regarding the ticket holder's current entitlement, or claim months for payment. Additionally, the help desk can provide you with the following information. They can provide you with the information for the denial, or they can help you with an explanation for an outreach email. Next slide, please. EIN payment reminders. So as a reminder, EIN payment requests are processed within 30 days of receipt. You can also look at earnings already proven in the system and see that as you are in the ticket portal. But when you see already proven in the ticket portal, the message does not guarantee payment. And then an additional reminder is the EIN supplemental earnings statement and the employer prepared earnings statement. These must be signed by the ticket holder's employer. Any statement signed by an EIN representative may result in denied payments. So there are a few EINs that like to send these in just proactively with every payment request. I encourage you all not to do that unless it is signed by that ticket holder's employer. Next slide, please. We're going to transition to payment requests for unassigned ticket holders. So tickets that are unassigned by the EIN. While an EIN may unassign a ticket at any time, doing so means that the EIN is no longer providing services or ongoing employment support to that ticket holder. Ongoing support or the availability of ongoing support is a requirement for continued payment. So SSA will cease ticket payments to the EIN effective the month prior to the month of the unassignment. And the EIN will not be eligible for future payments, including split payments for subsequent work and earnings achieved by the ticket holder, beginning with the month of the ticket unassignment. Next slide, please. If the ticket is unassigned by the ticket holder, while a ticket holder may unassign a ticket at any time, the EIN of record at the time of the unassignment still may benefit from its contribution to the ticket holder's work achievements. SSA may continue to pay the EIN the full payment due for any claim month for which the ticket holder's earnings qualify the EIN. So that can be for a period not to exceed 12 claim months in an 18-month period beginning with the unassignment month. This is also subject to SSA's evaluation of the EIN's service contribution. And this is unless the ticket holder reassigns the ticket prior to completion of the 12 claim month period. Next slide, please. So for tickets that end up reassigned, should the ticket holder reassign the ticket to another EIN during the 12 claim month period within the 18 months after unassignment, the former ENs or EN may request split payments for the remaining months of the 12 claim month period, beginning with the month the ticket holder reassigns the ticket. In either event, all payment requests shall be accompanied by evidence of work and earnings unless the ticket portal indicates and SSA payment processing confirms that SSA has evidence of work and earnings on record. Next slide, please. Reconciliation payments overview. Reconciliation payments. So a reconciliation payment is available to ENs who elect to serve ticket holders under the milestone outcome payment system. A reconciliation payment is due if a ticket holder's outcome payment period begins prior to payment of all eligible Phase 1 and Phase 2 milestones. The value of a reconciliation payment is the total dollar amount of unpaid milestone payments available when the first outcome payment was made. And the value of the unpaid milestones is based on the calendar year of the claim month of the first outcome payment. So we'll have an example of this for you. Next slide, please. And here's that example. So this example is for an SSDI ticket holder. So your phase one, milestone one, was paid at February 2023. Your phase one, milestone two, was paid at April 2023. Your ticket holder is making above SGA and they went into suspense due to worker earnings for outcome period at 7 or July 2023. So what happens now is the EN is no longer eligible for any additional phase 1 or phase 2 payments until the reconciliation process is entered into. So the phase 1 milestone 3 and phase 1 milestone 4 are both skipped. Those each carry a value of $1,645. The phase 2 milestone 1 through phase 2 milestone 11 payments are also skipped. So each of those have a value of $493. And since there's 11 payments, that would be $5,423. So as we mentioned, the ticket holder went into outcomes in July of 2023. So your first outcome payment was made for that claim month at July 2023, and your 12th outcome payment was made a year later at June 2024. So that will automatically start the reconciliation process, and then the EN would be paid the total of the phase one milestone 3 and 4 with the phase twos at claim month 6, 2024, for $8,713. Next slide, please. So here's some tips for reconciliation. In most cases, ENs do not have to request the reconciliation payment. A reconciliation payment is automatically created by SSA after an EN has received 12 outcome payments. A reconciliation payment will not be created if all available payments have been previously paid. And a reconciliation payment will not be created automatically if the ticket is unassigned at the time of the 12th outcome payment. And you can review the list of pending payments to me and also contact the EN Payments Help Desk for any questions you may have. Next slide, please. Transitioning to the top 5 common denial reasons. So the first one up is denial code 2, the beneficiary is receiving federal cash benefits. So this code indicates the EN has submitted a claim for an outcome payment and the ticket holder is listed in current pay status in Social Security's records. To receive outcome payments, a ticket holder must be in suspense or non-payment status due to work or earnings. So a tip here is ENs should confirm with each ticket holder if they are still receiving federal cash benefits before requesting any outcome payments. Next slide, please. Denial code 12, not eligible for payment due to look-back earnings. So this code applies only to Phase 1 milestone requests. It indicates SSA found evidence that the ticket holder had monthly earnings at or above the trial work level during the 18-month period immediately prior to the ticket assignment month and after the date of disability onset. This rule applies to the first time the ticket was assigned to an EN. For example, if the ticket was previously assigned to another EN or other ENs, use the ticket assignment date for the prior ENs. A tip here is during the intake process, ENs should discuss each ticket holder's work and earnings history during the prior 18 months. Next slide. Denial code 6, insufficient documentation. This code indicates a SSA ticket portal case was created and the EN did not provide the supporting documents within the 9 business days. For example, the EN did not provide evidence of earnings. So a tip here is to always send in supporting documentation within 9 business days of creating your case in the ticket portal. Next slide, please. Denial code 17, outcome period entered. Milestones cannot be paid. This code indicates the ticket holder for whom a milestone payment, phase 1 or phase 2, is being requested, has had their cash benefits suspended due to work and earnings and entered the outcome payment period. In such cases, if the ticket holder's earnings are at or above SGA, SSA will approve an outcome payment instead of the milestone payment requested. So a tip here is if an EN submitted for a milestone payment and receives notice that an outcome payment was made, the EN should record the claim month for which the first outcome payment was made and then track outcome payments to identify when to start looking out for that reconciliation payment. If the ticket holder subsequently reduces their earnings to the point of having their monthly disability check reinstated, the EN should not submit for any unpaid milestone payments, as SSA will have to deny them and the EN will have to wait for the ticket holder to again be off of benefits and generate additional outcome payments to the point of the 12th outcome payment. Next slide, please. Denial code 30, payments must be made in order. This code indicates that the EN has submitted a request for a phase 2 milestone payment before all available phase 1 milestone payments were processed to completion. So a tip for this denial code is review the denial comments. Since phase 1 and phase 2 ticket payments must be processed in order, ENs are encouraged to keep track of the payment requests they submit and the payments they receive on behalf of each ticket holder. It is particularly important to check the status of the last payment request submitted to see if the claim was processed, denied, or is pending. The list payments already made to me in the ticket portal is available to you 24 hours a day. Next slide, please. Transitioning to the top 3 diary reasons. The first one is, a payment request can be placed into diary because earnings documentation is illegible. The diary reason is used when the earnings information is unclear or illegible. Earnings information has been submitted by an EN. The EN in these situations has 9 business days to submit the requested information by fax or USPS. Next slide, please. Awaiting proof of earnings from EN. This diary reason is used for the following circumstances. The EN states what item they are using as proof of earnings, but that proof was not included in the payment request. When primary evidence of earnings is submitted and the pay period beginning or ending and or pay dates are missing from the earnings information submitted by the EN, when the EN needs to submit additional pay stubs for a claim month to reach the required amount for the payment, either trial work level or substantial gainful activity, or when an EN submits a case to the ticket portal and the supporting documentation has not yet been received, and the EN still has 9 business days to submit this requested information via fax or USPS. Next slide, please. And then diary reason, or the third top diary reason, is the SAM or CCR registration expired, update required. So all employment networks are required to keep the registration current and all information up to date on SAM. To avoid a disruption in receiving payments, please be sure to address the renewal prior to expiration. If the EN sees the diary reason of SAM CCR registration expired, update required, then the EN must sign into SAM.gov to renew and validate their information. Next slide, please. All right, so I'm going to share with you the EN payment resources. So you can reach us by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, toll-free at 1-866-949-3687. Option 1 will take you to the beneficiary help desk. Option 2 is the EN payments help desk. And option 3 is the systems help desk. Or you can send us an email for payment issues. The email address is enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. For questions and issues that are related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the ticket portal, they can be sent to ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. And as always, we invite you to share topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate and provide you clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. Please send your topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide. And with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Catherine.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you very much for the EN Payments review and helpful updates. Now it is time for the interactive question and answer session. So next slide, please. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question and are joining on the phone, please press star 5 to raise your hand. You'll be given access, and you will need to press star 6 to unmute to ask your question. If you're joining via Teams application, click the raise hand icon at the top, and you'll be given access. You then need to unmute yourself and remember one question per raised hand. Okay, at this time, Rebecca, please identify our first participant with a question.
Yes, our first question comes from Wendy. Your audio and video are active, and please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Wendy. Just click your microphone.
Yay!
At the top.
Okay.
Yay, hi.
Hey, hi, Nicole.
Hi, Wendy.
I ran into a problem that I just have a feeling other AMs may be having as well. I got some paycheck stubs today, and in looking back, I've got a seasonal worker that's on Ticket to Work, and we live in Utah, so he's working on a ranch, okay? So in 2023, according to his MEE, he received 4 paychecks, which I submitted those paycheck stubs for his Phase 1 Milestone 2 payment, and they all have the same beginning date and ending date. They do have different pay dates on them, but because of how those dates are, the beginning date and the ending date, months were left out of, you know, the calculation. The majority of those earnings, the MEE is showing that he received those all in August, that they were all earned in August, rather. But I don't think that's the case, because I think that this is a situation where the employer has probably neglected to update the payroll period, because the pay dates are all in line. They make sense, in other words. So there's two for every month. How do we adjust that or make that right? Because, you know, we work for, you know, those milestone payments, and this has been a particularly challenging one for me. And I'm just looking for some direction on what you think would be the best thing for me to do. Right. And any other Ians.
Thank you for your question, Wendy. So let me just clarify a little bit. Have you submitted this request already for this ticket holder?
The last one I submitted was phase one, milestone two, and I was just getting ready to submit for phase one, milestone three, but I don't have the 6 months in 12, but I would if they'd done their accounting correctly, I think.
So the best way to rectify this is for you to get the employer prepared earnings statement, so the employer can provide all of the relevant information that's needed so that we can go ahead and process the payment request.
So I would just get that and send it in with when I send the check stubs in for the payment? Okay, great.
Just make sure an employer representative signs it, and then we can use that to reconcile the information to go ahead and process the payment.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Wendy. All right, Rebecca. Do we have another raised hand?
Yes, we do. Our next question comes from Lori. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like. And you are welcome to ask your question.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, you can hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes. Good. Thank you. This is just a procedural question. I had several phase two and outcome payments that I had input prior to the start of e-processing. And the Friday before, and this is on us, the Friday before our fax went down. So I have items sitting out there under pending, but I have not faxed in the cover sheets. I could now, but I don't know what this is going to do with e-processing. Could you give me some direction on that?
Hi, Lori. Thank you for your question. So let me restate it just to make sure I've got it right. You made some payment requests prior to us beginning ePay. However, your fax took a holiday and kept some of the information from coming over that we needed. So you're kind of caught up in that gray area of waiting to request payments until ePay is complete. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So with those, I would just recommend at this point you will need to wait until the EN portion of the ePay file is complete to resubmit those cases. But prior to resubmitting, you can go into the portal and look at the payments already made to me to see if those payments were in fact captured during the ePay process.
That's what I've been doing, and I haven't seen them come across yet. So.
Yeah, we literally just started, so, you know, give it a little while longer, and just keep in mind that we are processing an SSN order.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Ms. Lori. Are you good with that? Any other questions? Questions, comments? Didn't want to give you bad information. All right, thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. All right, Rebecca.
Yes, our next question comes from Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Sandra. And I see you're unmuted. Okay. Hello, Sandra. Might need to check your volume. Okay. Well, Sandra adjusts her volume. We'll go ahead and call on the next participant, Rebecca.
Okay, our next participant will be Paul. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I had a question. It's not really a guidance question. It's more for tracking purposes. So sort of going back to the common diaries and errors and things like that, some of that is, you know, not enough documentation was submitted. So my question is, I guess, let's say we need 3 pay stubs to qualify. We are faxing 3 pay stubs, but we thought we data entered 3 pay stubs into the portal, but in fact we only data entered 2. There's no real receipt to what we entered. We just get the barcode. We don't get to see that we entered 3 pay stubs. There's no real feedback on that. I don't believe there's anything that we can actually do in that, but is there any way we could, you know, maybe push that request up to maybe some feedback that we could maybe get a request as like a receipt so that we have a little bit better tracking and we understand what we did maybe a week later?
All right. Hi, Paul. Thank you for your question. So this is a question that is specifically regarding the portal. So let me restate it to make sure I got it right, and then I will ask Katie to help me out here. So your question is when you're submitting your pay stubs and you are keying in your data, there's nothing to validate or confirm that everything that you entered was actually entered successfully so that you know if everything that you think you're providing is attached to that payment request. Is that correct?
Correct. I've just been screen grabbing our entry and then tacking it onto the submission packet. Obviously, that's not the best way, but, you know, that way it's all condensed in one packet.
All right. So thank you for that confirmation. So I will turn this one over to Katie or Alexis.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Alexis. As long as you fax in all the pay stubs that you want to submit with your claim, that is fine. You don't necessarily have to key all of them. It's appreciated when you key them because it does help the team not have to key them individually. But as long as your fax contains everything you want to submit, your payment is, your request is complete.
Oh, I thought that would be the case, but I've had numerous times where that's not the case.
It could. Sometimes fax pages don't make it all the way through. You might be faxing 6, but we only receive 5. That could be the case. You know, unfortunately, we can't control how many, you know, we can't tell you that we received so many pages. It just says we can only tell you that the fax was received.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Alexis.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you, Paul. Rebecca, let's go to our next raise hand.
Yes, our next raised hand is Michael. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Yes, hi, Michael. Good morning and afternoon, everyone. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Thank you. My question is this. We have several clients who are independent contractors, i.e. they get a 1099 form or they are self-employed. Typically, what I've always thought is that we have to wait until they do the taxes, not for the self-employed folks, but for the folks who are their 1099 that are working for someone but their 1099 independent contractors. So then when I was in the portal the other day, I saw where there's a option for an employer statement. And I thought maybe I could process payments that way with an employer statement, like something on their letterhead that says the pay period start date, end date, pay date, gross amount received, and the client's name. Can you direct me around that? Is there anything else that the employer statement needs to have as proof of earnings for that month?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for your question. So just to clarify, you have people who are 1099 ticket holders, and you're wanting to know if you can utilize the employer-prepared earnings statement to make your payment requests to validate their earnings. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. So your 1099 ticket holders are considered to be self-employed. So we do have to wait for them to file their taxes or have their earnings updated in the system for us to process any payments for them. So the employer-prepared earnings statement is not something that you can utilize with 1099 ticket holders either.
Got it. Thank you for that clarification. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. I see we have Sandra Abbott that has rejoined. Rebecca?
Yes. Okay, we can move to Sandra, or we can go with the next one, which would be Angela. Your audio and video are active, and please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Angela. Just click the microphone up top, then it'll unmute. Hi, Angela.
Hey, can you
hear me? Hi, I can, loud and clear.
Okay, I am hoping that you can give me some feedback on this situation. I have a client that I have continually tried to reach out to, and they're not responding. Okay, they're in current pay, and the portal shows that they're in current pay as of April of 2022. My last payment from this client was September of 2022. I'm continually trying to reach out to her to see what she's doing, how she's doing, what can I do to help her, and so forth. And there has been no response at all. So my question is, when is it a good idea, under what circumstances, to terminate? Because you all could probably send me a request and have me to send information in about my contacts and so forth, but it can only be, you know, I have no response by mail, no response by email, no response through relative who's, you know, supposed to be her guardian or whatever, and no response from her. So when is it, you know, a good idea to just make a decision that I'm going to terminate the ticket? So that's my question.
All right. Hi, Ms. Angela. Thank you for your question. So I'll restate that. So basically, you have a ticket holder who is not cooperating with you and providing two-way communication. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. So this is a question that would be better served for program integrity. So I recommend reaching out to them, and they can provide you with guidance on how to move forward with determining what steps you should take with this ticket holder.
Okay. All right. I certainly will. I'll reach out to them.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rebecca?
Yes, our next question comes from Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, goody. I appreciate you. Yes. And hi, Nicole. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you, Miss Sandra?
I'm good. I just had a quick question. The training has been excellent. It has, you know, the new training that you're covering a lot of ideas and issues, and I just wanted to state that. So my question is, with the 18-month look back and the monthly earnings estimator tools, is it possible that there can be training on that for all of the ENs?
Oh, wow. Thank you for your question, Ms. Sandra. I am wondering. So, you've been enjoying the EN Essentials is what I'm hearing and the information that we're sharing on these quarterly calls. But, I'm hearing a payment topic request or a call request. So you would like us to provide additional insight on the 18-month look back tool and the monthly earnings estimator?
Yes.
All right, that is noted, and we will take it back and try to get something worked in for maybe the next call or possibly something with the EN Essentials. So thank you for that. Note it, and we'll try to figure something out for you.
Thank you so much, everybody.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Have a great day.
Thanks for being patient.
Of course. All right. Rebecca, who is our next participant with a question?
Yes, our next participant is Sarah. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Sarah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question related to several in the chat that has to do with the challenge when a participant is reporting their wages, but there's a delay in processing where, you know, we submit for someone that we believe should be an outcomes payment, and we get that denial that they are, in fact, continuing to receive benefits. Of course, we follow up with the beneficiary and encourage them to report their wages to Social Security and try to resolve the issue that way. But I just wanted to get guidance on best practice for when we should try to resubmit that claim in the portal. Are we able to submit it for that same month, or, you know, how we should try to handle that?
Hi, Ms. Sarah. Thank you for your question. So just to restate it, your question is regarding when those ticket holders, and you're under the assumption that they should be in suspense due to worker earnings. However, they are still receiving their Social Security benefits, and it is inhibiting you from requesting your outcome payments.
Exactly.
Okay. So the first line of defense you have is to, you know, have that ticket holder reach out to the field office to have that communication about their benefits and their status, because everything does start there. As it relates to when to resubmit that payment, that again falls on the ticket holder, making sure that they are giving you accurate information as to the status of their benefits. And then if you get the information from the ticket holder and you feel like it's right, you would submit that next payment for the claim month, like go into the payments already made to me in the portal to see where your last payment was made or paid based on the eligible claim month that you were paid for. And then you would follow up from there, and we would process the payment accordingly based on the ticket holder's benefit status, as long as they are truly in outcomes or in suspense. That help?
Hi, Sarah. I just unmuted again. We were hearing some background.
Sorry about that. Just confirming that we would submit for the month that they actually did end up being in suspense.
Yeah, see, that's a case by case. It depends on the specific situation. So your first line of defense would be to see what has already been paid to you, and then pick up with the next available claim month based off the last payment you received. And then if that doesn't align with the data that we have, then you would get the denial, which would specify what it is that we see on our side that we can share with you so that you would know how to proceed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, Rebecca, I see more raised hands.
Yes. Our next participant is Shannon. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Shannon. Thank
you. Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So I just have a quick question. So we have several ticket holders where that were denied for the 18-month look back, but it's not actually from work and earnings. It's actually from their disability payments. But we, you know, while we're working that out, we still move forward with the payments. But we have several ticket holders in particular that we unfortunately don't make it to outcome 12 with them to do the reconciliation payment. But technically, we were eligible for the P1s that we were denied for, because it was really not from work and earnings. It was from disability payments. What happens with those? Do we lose those payments then that we should have received because it was, I guess, coded maybe wrong in SSA system?
Shannon. Okay, I want to make sure I got your name right. Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So let me make sure I got this right. You have ticket holders where your phase ones are either you're not eligible for them, or they've been denied for something related to their benefit status. And unfortunately, some of these ticket holders are not making it to where you can get your 12th outcome payment. So you have money sitting on the table is what you're asking. And then what do you do? Okay.
Yes.
So the way the process is, you do have to have that ticket holder reach their 12th outcome payment in order to be eligible for us to take a look at any missed payments, any missed phase ones or phase twos at the reconciliation process. So the ultimate goal is, you know, what we're all hoping for is for those ticket holders to get to that 12th outcome payment so that you can receive the payment for those payments in the months prior.
Okay.
All right. So, but I would say, sorry to interrupt. Have some specific cases that you want us to take a look at again, I would just encourage you to reach out to the payments help desk and we can take a look at them again. You know, we encourage that if you have a question, you know, just to validate what it is that transpired or, you know, just take a look at the payment again for you. So if you want us to look at something, please send it in and we'll take a look at it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Shannon. All right. Rebecca, who is our next participant with a question?
Yes. Our next participant is Casey. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Casey.
Hello, ladies. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole. I'm kind of piggybacking on what Sarah had asked about those Code 2 denials. Ever since I've been doing this, which is many, many years, Code 2 has always been the number one denial reason. And it's a little frustrating, I would say, because that is not really something that we can help, or that's something that, you know, we have to wait for Social Security to update. So just to clarify, I want to make sure that the best practice there would be either to have the beneficiary call their local office, which we would do with them typically in a conference call. But I just wanted to make sure that was kind of the best practice on how to handle that, because we have several people that we know are going probably into an overpayment status and we can't stop it. So we're telling the people, you know, our beneficiaries, don't cash those checks, as you should be out of pay status. We're doing those conference calls and it's still taking several months for that to update. So just kind of wondering, is there any type of plan to revamp that, to make that report quicker, I guess you would say? Report those earnings and report that quicker?
Hi, Casey. Thank you for that comment or additional feedback from the question that Sarah had asked. So yes. Best practice is to continue to work with that ticket holder as you are at the field office level to get their earnings updated as quickly as possible. Katie, do you have anything to add or anything to reply to based on Casey's question or comment? Nope.
I was going to say, no, there's really nothing, you know, we can do in this scenario.
Okay.
All right.
We will continue.
Oh, sorry. Casey, were you saying something? You can unmute.
Oh, I was just saying that I appreciate it, and we'll continue to reach out to the local offices to try to get that taken care of.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks.
Okay, just as a reminder, if you have questions, we have just a little bit of time left. About 8 minutes, 5 to 8 minutes. So if you have a question, raise your hand. If you're on the phone, press *5 to raise your hand. If you're on MS Teams, just click the raise hand icon. We'll kind of pause here for just a moment, see if we have any more questions. Well, we do. Rebecca?
Yes, our next question is coming from Angela. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Angela.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies. I was kind of making sure everybody had the other questions out of the way. I had this kind of crazy one. SSA has been talking about this ticket to work texting thing. Is there some type of a form that we can get for the customers to sign? Or any guidance on that? I kind of got to the end of another meeting when they were talking about it one day.
Hi, Angela. Thank you for your question. So you're asking about the text initiative?
Yes. Yes, that's it. Text initiative.
That's one that I would reach out to Ian Service to get further clarification on because that's not on the payment side.
I got it. Thank you for your direction, sweetheart. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
Okay, Rebecca, I see we have another raised hand.
Yes, our next participant comes from caller 8524. You are unmuted, and please press star 6 to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Good afternoon. Hi, we can barely hear you.
Oh, hi. This is Erin from Reability.
Hi, Erin.
Hi. I'm just getting over COVID. Everyone be careful. Oh. Spiking again. Yeah. So my question is, I'm just curious how many employment networks actually submit pay stubs for the clients or beneficiaries. I never wanted to take responsibility, you know, because of the possibility I'm not getting all the information from clients. But I was just wondering how many ENs do that, if you have a sense of that.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm improving, getting better.
Good.
Hi, Nicole.
Good. I do not have the actual number on how many ENs submit pay stubs, but I can say that we do have a large majority of the, I'll just say a large majority, there's a large number of payment requests that are submitted with evidence of earnings. I don't know if Katie or Alexis may have some hard data that they can refer to as it relates to the percentage of payment requests that are accompanied with evidence of earnings.
I'm sorry. I didn't phrase my question right. How many ENs submit the information to Social Security? I apologize for not thinking my question through. Yeah.
On behalf of the ticket holder?
Yes, I was going to say, Nicole, this is Katie. I was going to say, you know, this is a perfect place to chime in about the fact that if you submit pay stubs to us here at the Ticket to Work program through the ticket portal, those pay stubs do get to Social Security. So, you know, when you submit a payment request to us with a pay stub, you know, it does get entered in our system. So you don't need to duplicate that effort by then reaching out to the field office with the same exact pay stubs.
I thought I've asked that before, and I thought it was a separate process.
So we have, we can resend it, but we did send a gov delivery not too long ago talking about pay stubs and the field offices and what EN should do with the information they have. We could perhaps, you know, send a reminder message out if there's still some confusion.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks, anything Erin. Else, Nicole? Sorry for interrupting, but
no, that's awesome. Thank you.
I wanted to make sure we made the point that you are submitting that to say when you give us pay stubs.
And I made the note for that, possibly resending the gov delivery. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you, Katie and Nicole. Okay, let's take a couple more. Rebecca?
Okay. Our next question comes from Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Sorry, I'm back again.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a quick question. Is it possible to have a form where the ENs can ask specific questions about the billing process? I mean, we're doing it here, but if we could send in information in advance, you know, to address some of the issues, because the billing for me has seemed like it's gotten more complicated. and I'm not sure, I'm not understanding why, and I'm thinking maybe others are feeling the same way. So it's like maybe having just two forms strictly on questions.
Okay, so you're saying like how to submit these questions that would be, the questions actually make it out to the masses, not just a question you submit to the payment help desk, they help you with your specific question, but something that's more overarching to reach the whole program?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think that, yeah, that's what I mean. You know, where we can ask specific questions. I mean, this helps a lot, but again, it's, how can I say, just a strict form, you know, where we could just ask questions that we have. Excuse me.
So this is the first line, the quarterly calls. And so I would recommend any of those questions that you have as you have them when you send out to the, when you reach out to the payments help desk, mm-hmm. make sure to like really document this is a topic that I would like to have addressed on the next all EM payments call. And this is my question or these are my questions. And then we, the payments help desk manager and I, we actually go over these things quarterly, and that's how we come up with our content. And then after the call is over, all of the data or all the information here is then compiled again, and the recap is on the website so that people can use it and reference it continuously as they need. But I did make note that you've requested a secondary forum to have a question and answer session for ENs for payments. And that's something that, you know, we'll take back and we'll address and see if it's something that we can make happen or if we can enhance what it is we're already doing to make the resources readily available to you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ms. Sandra.
Thank you, Sandra. Let's try to get in at least one more question. So, Rebecca?
Yes, our next question comes from Natalie. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphones on mute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, y'all. I'm going to be really, really quick. This is a consideration for the payment team. In the portal, is there any way that as we are submitting our pay stub data, that the earnings estimator can automatically be compiling and letting us know if they meet the threshold. That's it.
Hi. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
That is a request for Katie and Alexis, and I'm sure Alexis and Katie have made the note regarding that, but I'll kick it over to them so they can explain how the portal works and if that's something that's even feasible.
Nicole, or the caller, can you reiterate the feature you're asking for?
In the portal where you're submitting, requesting a ticket payment, you select if it's, you know, the month, and then you select if it's phase one, phase two outcome. Then you go to the screen where you're entering actual paycheck data. As we're putting that in, the start date, end date, gross net, could that be automatically populating what the earning estimator spreadsheet does? Like right there on that screen, letting us know, hey, it meets the SSDI August 1 to August 31, or it meets the SSI when paid. But it'll tell us, yes, you know how the spreadsheet kind of says, it meets the criteria. I don't know if you guys, I use it monthly. Sorry, I do. But it kind of highlights and says, yes, it's eligible, or no, it's not. And it helps me narrow down my denials because I'm making sure that the money amount meets the criteria before I submit it in the portal. So I'm wondering if it's an option to have that earning estimator spreadsheet kind of like auto-populate and show in that on that screen that as we're plugging in that same information that we plug in on the earning estimator, but it gives us that response that, yes, this person met the criteria for the month, or no, they did not. I'm sorry if that's confusing. I'm trying my best to explain it.
No, thank you for explaining. I just wanted to make sure I understood it. You know, we'll take it back and to our wish list.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for walking me through it.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, Katie and Nicole.
Thank you.
Slide, please. Okay. Closing remarks. Any questions not answered today or in the chat? If you would, just go ahead and email EM Payments Helpdesk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And on behalf of the Social Security Administration and the Ticket Program Manager, we would like to thank you for joining today's quarterly All-EM Payments call. As a reminder, you will receive a Gov Delivery Blast when post-call deliverables from today's call are available to view on the Your Ticket to Work website under Training and Events. Now, moving ahead, our next quarterly All-EM Payments call is scheduled for Wednesday, November 6th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, thank you for joining, and this concludes the August quarterly All-EM Payments call. Have a great day.